Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Darlene Lewis, and I'm here to tell you tonight's show is going to be one for the record books. We are going to talk to pioneers in hip-hop, and tonight's subject is pioneering women in hip-hop. We hear so much about the male pioneers and icons of entertainment, but we never, ever hear about the females that are the backbone of the industry. We never hear about the publicists, singers that do the background for a lot of artists that can't sing or MC. We rarely hear about the dancers that make the radio artists look good. What would singers, rappers do without musicians or songwriters, especially the love songs? Sometimes you see award shows or videos, and the women are just placeholders. But today's artists are breaking down doors and standing in front of a closed door. Tonight, we welcome a great pioneering breakdancer, Kim Makazi Valente, great breakdancer of the Dynamic Dolls. Invited legends will also be calling into the show. So call in and learn the history of the premier breakdancers as she drops jewels. You can call in right now at 516-453-9097, and we will be right back.
She, your name is She.
They say they don't fuck with me, but I say they can't fuck with me. Like the girl I'm everywhere. How you say it so?
Talk shit. You would think I went to school for chiropractic. Looking good as hell today. They sent my nigga Fabotech. Why'd you come from me about a nigga? Man, you beat me down. They come at me about niggas who? I don't even find a track. I don't know that nigga. I just see them on the town before. I can't be up in her face. I took her nigga down for. When I lose a nigga, I just pop out and go buy some more. As soon as I feel like my time get wasted, then it's time to go. They say they don't fuck with me, but I say they can't fuck with me. Like the girl I'm everywhere. How you say it so me? Them bitches should've stayed down. They could've been up with me, but all they doing is talking down. Cause they can't get up with me. My ex looking on my old friend. Both they ass some fucking time. Thinking if she got one up on me, she got my hammer down. He thought he won't gon' have to stand on shit like he was handicapped. Make that nigga stand on it. Now his ass can't stand me now. How the fuck I'm lit, yup. I don't smoke no sweet up. Flying with my gang and him. Look at him like some stuff. Let me go, I said about these niggas. I don't wanna hang with them. They don't have no business. They be going for anything, but I can't go for none of it. Why would I go chase you if I know you gon' come running back? Cut it bad, y'all say you been feeling like a lumberjack. They really get me fucked up, and now I'm going for none of it.
She just tried to nigga make a man, she going too far.
Me, I'm kinda ratchet, just so I'm the type to be young. I can't love you, baby, like your bitch, so don't leave her. Every time, cause this shit for the keep up. Can't say your name up in my song. Might not fuck with you tomorrow. Can't get my feelings hurt today. I won't give a fuck tomorrow. They fucked up, I know credit go. I might be rich as fuck tomorrow. Every day the sun won't shine, but that's why I love tomorrow.
Riding with my twin and up, and we all look good for it. She said she my eye, but I don't know her. Had to look her up, cause I know that I'm rich, but I can help it, bitch, I'm good as fuck. I've been on these bitches next so long, sometimes I fucking stuck. with my bitch. You not with me, that's tomorrow. Bitches be on this today, sing every word of us tomorrow. Bitch, I still got capes open. Keep your mouth shut tomorrow. Play with me today, then get some sleep. You know it's us tomorrow. Fake bitch, that's what my friend fucked on your nigga. Broke you bitches pussy, I think that's a scissor. You bought a chain, I bought the same one, even bigger. Throwing shots, that's how I know I got a trigger. I don't speak doggo, I don't care what no bitch say. I stay on her mind, I got condos in that bitch head. She said she don't fuck with me, who said that you can't hold? That nigga a munchie, he gon' eat me like a mango. Long ass beef, it be tickling my ass crack. Wonder what I do tomorrow, that these hoes will be mad at. Oh yeah, bitch is sweet, and I always get my lick blue.
Say your name up in my trunk, might not fuck with you tomorrow. Can't get my feelings hurt today, I won't give a fuck tomorrow. Ain't fucked up by no credit score, I might be rich as fuck tomorrow. Every day the sun won't shine, but that's why I love tomorrow. Can't say your name up in my trunk, might not fuck with you tomorrow. Can't get my feelings hurt today, I won't give a fuck tomorrow. Ain't fucked up by no credit score, I might be rich as fuck tomorrow. Every day the sun won't shine, but that's why I love tomorrow.
Wow, wow. How far has rap come since the beginning of the Sugar Hill Gang? And tonight we have a caller calling in from a 386 area code. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi, it's me, Darlene. I figured
hey,
I would
yeah.
be on hold for a while until you needed me.
Welcome, young lady. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, sweetie. I'm doing the best that I can, like everybody else. How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we just keep on keeping on. You know how we do.
Yes, ma'am. I know. I read between all those lines just now.
Yes.
I know. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure. It's just been sometimes too far and few in between before we speak.
Yeah, man. We also have something in common. You also like old school movies, which I don't.
Oh, I know. I think about you all the time when I see a good movie. I'm like, ah, I don't got to tell her. She already knows. That's on right now, 24/7. I always got that on.
Really? Oh, man. It's I'm so hooked on the streaming shows and the history things that I just get, you know, now and then I'll look at like some new shows, but let me tell you, it's nothing like the old shows, okay? And speaking of the old shows, I hate to call it old school, I like to call it classic. And this year, as Mary J. Blige's former manager, Kurt Woodley, said, who says that we have to say this is 50th anniversary of hip-hop? I'm like, well, you know, people only go back 6,000 years to Christianity, where we know that we've been on this earth hundreds of thousands of years. Some people just need a frame of reference.
Exactly.
And so we're going to respect that and keep it within the realm, even if we know the last poets was out in the 60s and they were, you know, rapping.
Right, true.
But tell me, what was your influence? And tell the listening audience, because this, I want you to take your time, drop some jewels, and talk about your life and how you got involved with dancing and being such a pioneering individual.
Well, you know, I always, as I said in the beginning of my book, I was practically born dancing. I rolled over like when my mother brought me home the day from the hospital. So right there I told her that should have been a clue that you were in for some trouble because I was just always active and I always loved dance. And I actually won my first dance contest at 3 years old, and which is funny, I remember that because there were two ladies and they were just amazed that I was this little girl dancing like an adult. But, you know, like everybody else, that's how you came up. You know, there was always music in the house and, you know, dancing. And, you know, I had a young mom and a young aunt that were up on all the new, you know, dance steps. And it's how I learned the hustle. And So it's always been in my life, but, you know, as the years went on and we started hearing a lot of that early rap, because, you know, like, you know, we're very endeared to, you know, Rapper's Delight, but one of my favorite first raps was The Adventures of Super Rhymes by Jimmy Spicer, R.I.P. That was one of my favorite of all time. So, you know, dancing had always been in my blood, something I loved to do, something I was good at. You know, it's just, you're either a dancer, it's part of you. You know, you hear music. I'll be in the grocery store today, you know, and as we get older, or classic, as you said, I don't think we really care anymore. You know, not that I really was ever embarrassed. I used to dance on the train station, practice my papa moves. I mean, I didn't make a spectacle of myself, but I'll be dancing down the aisles in the supermarket if they put on a good song, you know. So it's just something that, you know, was born in me.
So now, you said it was born in you, but you could have become a tap dancer. How did you pick the type of dancing that you chose to do?
Don't laugh. I did that too. I just walked in, and my cousin was taking tap dance lessons, and I watched, and they had some extra ones and, you know, tap shoes in the back. And I had to be like 8, 9. I put a pair on, and by the time the class was done, I already knew the whole routine, so the woman put me in the show. But I actually came in a little late on the, you know, I started off popping. Now, listen, I have been around it all my life. I've seen the locking, you know, anything with dancing, I watch, Soul Train, you know, anything I could get my, you know, watch, Shields and Yarnell. So I would be practicing, you know, the robot and the mechanic, you know, all that stuff that you see on TV. So I was always kind of doing stuff like that. And I wasn't into locking, and breaking was around. And, you know, it's just sometimes it takes one person that can just change you. And there was a guy named Mike Boogie. He used to go to the Funhouse with us. He was down with Incredible Breakers, my brothers. And just he just had a style that I had not really seen before. And I was like, I want to do that.
What,
so actually, that's how I started. I used to pop before I started breaking.
Oh, so you started out popping. Like the people from the West Coast. That was big over there.
I don't know. I did more of the East Coast style. I didn't lock. I wasn't really locking. I was like hardcore pop, ticks, waves, you know, body waves, like really, you know. The only one then I saw, I met Boogaloo Shrimp at this place called the Funhouse, and he blew me away when I saw him. I think we both shocked each other because he's like, yo, girls in Cali are not popping like you.
So now the Funhouse. Kind of, talk about that experience of the Funhouse.
You know, it's so hard to, if you weren't there, but I'll do my best. This was a place like no other. It was like the land of Oz of nightclubs. It's like you walked in and you just knew you were somewhere special. The sound system was not to be believed, number one. The dance styles and the level of dancers in this place was just phenomenal. I have to use that word. And you had people from all real estate, all backgrounds, all in the same place. And if I tell you there was rarely ever a problem, everybody who came there came to just enjoy and dance. And you had, we owned the backstage, which was our real estate, which was the hip-hop stage. So you had all the breakers and the poppers and all that going on. And you had two forms of dance that was actually born out of the Funhouse, which was the kick dancers and the buggers, which they still meet after 40 years. We have reunions and everything. But it was the kind of place that you can go, and if you wanted to step up, you better bring your A game, because you had some of the best, you know, in every real estate. You had Hustle over there, Loft over here, Webo over here, kick dancing, bugging, breaking. There was a place for everybody there. And, of course, Jelly Bean got his start there, and Madonna, Lisa Lisa. I mean, the history of the place is just unbelievable. And a friend of mine is making, he should be finished soon, the official Funhouse documentary that will literally tell the whole story.
Now, when you say making a documentary, is this a film documentary or a book?
No, a film documentary.
So I know he has to have you in there.
Yes, well, of course. Actually, we just finished last year. We filmed the ending with my uncle, who was one of the owners of the Funhouse. So, you know, I took a trip into New York, and we filmed the ending of the documentary. So now it's all footage. It's, you know, a lot of people's photos. This is a place that people have loved their whole life, have, you know, told their families about. The reunions were just, it's such a passion for this place. Because, you know, we went to all clubs. I mean, there wasn't a club that I didn't go to. But this was the only place you could bring. We used to bring duffel bags because we danced so hard all night that we would literally be dripping. And we had a change of clothes in our bag. You had deodorant, who had soap, people bought blow dryers. I mean, some people went a little overboard, but and nobody messed with your stuff either.
I'm trying to see if I've ever been there because, you know, I was a party animal. Like, there's, like, no club that I've never gone to.
Oh, you can't
but
forget this place with the big clown DJ booth. And when you walk in, you had all those mirrors, you know, one makes you look short, like in a funhouse.
Yeah, it sounds like I've been there before.
I guarantee
like
you
I was
there.
Partying from 75.
See, that's it. Been so many places, you can't remember all of them.
Yeah, 371 Club. I remember the Hevelo. I remember Executive Playhouse, the Diplomat, Hotel Diplomat, the Rennie, of course. That's where I really, really got my hustle on, the Rennie. And the Freak was out back then. Remember the Freak?
Oh, of course.
And I tried break dancing, but I don't know. I just never really could master it. Like, I was really good with when the song Scorpio came out. I don't know if you remember that song. There's a break beat in there. And I would see the guys, you know, go in a circle. We would be burning, and that's what we used to call it, you know,
burning
and stuff. Yeah, man. And I don't know. I mean, I was a dancer, but I could never do the acrobatic stuff. So I was more of like, my thing was more the hustle, and then making beats and on the table and writing, you know. But I never thought that dance would go the route. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, I used to go to Central Park, and these guys used to bring cardboard. You probably was in that crowd bringing cardboard.
After we danced all night at the Funhouse, we would go to Washington Square Park and dance all day. I don't know how we did it. Really don't know how the hell we did it. And then I'd go to work.
You in Washington,
remember those
days? In the bathroom.
Yep, I'm telling you.
So,
but I wouldn't give it up for anything, you know.
Exactly. So, okay, so let's finish. So, you went to the Funhouse, and how did you get involved with like a group?
Well, okay, so after I saw Mike Boogie, and I was like, the next morning I woke up, right, and I was like, I literally looked in the mirror, and I started to teach myself how to pop. So, you know, I've seen it. So I could, you know, I'm like that. Show me a move, and I do it. I don't need to do the 1, 2, 3 steps. So I started breaking it down, my fingers, my knuckles, you know, the wrist, and I just practiced. And about 2 weeks later, I felt that I was good enough to show my friends. So we're at the Funhouse, of course, and we're at our spot. And one of the songs that I was practicing to, One More Shot, came on. So I'm doing my, I said, look what I learned. So I'm doing my little routine, You know, it wasn't much, but, you know, it was something. So all of a sudden I hear applause, people screaming, and you never know what was going on at the funhouse. I mean, John Travolta would walk in, Michael Jackson was there. So you hear somebody screaming, what's going on? I turn around to see what's going on, and they're all clapping for me.
Wow.
And they're like, do more. And I'm like, that's all I know. We'll do it again. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. So that just, you know, and then I just, all of a sudden, I got really good, really quick, and just all these crews just, like, all throwing offers at me. Oh, come be down with us. We have this. Nelson Cruz, you know, him from the music business, he used to work with, he wrote a lot of Shannon stuff, music. Yeah. Anyway, he worked with Run the K Star. He was big in the music room. He comes up to me with these guys all dressed black, white, with the white gloves. So, of course, I knew right there they were poppers, and that was called the Body Mechanics. I was actually with another group before that, but I won't go through all that because this is where, you know, that led me to, we were in the finals at the first big breakdance contest at the Roxy, which the Dynamic Breakers won. Now, I didn't know that they had separated from the original group. When I saw the cream of the crop, my guys, who I had known and loved, I told my other crew, sorry, but I got to go. That's like home over there. And I left, and, you know, I didn't leave them hanging. I got them somebody else, but then I went with Dynamic, and, you know, then it was really more breaking in power moves and, you know, taking people in the air and all that good stuff that came later.
Wow.
That was a perfect fit. Love, you know, the people.
So let me ask you something and be honest. How were you received as a female?
As a white female, yeah. That's, you know, it's, and I say that because, listen, I grew up always in mixed company, so I'm comfortable anywhere with anybody. So, you know, I would go with my friends. Everybody is Puerto Rican or you know, African American. You know, I'm like the light bulb in the friggin' room, you know, but I don't care. I was comfortable. I don't care. But I would get people looking at me like, what is this white girl doing here? I would be in the Bronx at... You know, Castle Hill, there's places I shouldn't have been. But you know what? Once I started dancing, I had cheerleaders, man. Everybody was so cool with me and everything. But, you know, and back then I was we were received, and I say we because then, you know, we formed the Dynamic Dolls. You know, we gained, like you gained your street credit. You know, you gain your credit with your peers, and you're accepted by your skills. Because I got that a lot.
Let me ask you a question. Callers are calling in, so they may want to ask questions with you, but I've been putting people on hold, and they're dropping. So if you are listening right now, callers, I am sorry, but she's so exciting and interesting. I've ignored you guys, and I'm sorry. I'm doing this by myself today. Normally, let me tell you, normally what I normally do, I'll have a Zoom set up for my TV show and the radio set up for my podcast. But today, you know, I got a call that somebody was caught. Well, actually yesterday that, you know, she's not feeling good. So I said, well, you know what? I don't feel like getting dressed anyway. So I'll just chill out and do the radio thing. And it's more comforting. You can relax. So it's your day. But callers, do call back. I promise I will
take your calls.
Pause for your calls. And at that point, you can talk. But, Kim, hold that thought. I have to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back.
Greg, N-I-C-E, I'm Nitro, and I'm hype, so don't wanna read about. Indeed, I proceed to rock the house without a doubt. Stepping up next, no further ado. Full beer's gonna make a real funky for you.
blogtalkradio.com, hear no evil. So you can hear Kim on blogtalkradio.com/hear no evil and on The Really Real Talk. And you can download that at Spotify, Apple, and about 7 or 8 other platforms we'll be on. So, and we'll also put this information out so when you can actually see it on Celebrity Showcase TV. Because what I do is when we don't shoot video, I put the audio to like slides, like stills, and then we air it on our TV show as well. So people are going to be bombarded with you, Kim. Okay. So now, what was it like and how were you received, you know, way before you went on tour, but how were you received as a female in a male-dominated culture of hip-hop?
You know, it's funny because I was so well-received. I think people were so surprised, and it's hard to say this without sounding like I'm fooling myself, but listen, it's the one thing other than my being a mother that I can honestly say that I was one of the best at back in my time. Really. So I was that good that people really were like bug out, you know, because you know, there were some females, you know, but the skills that I had gotten to were just like, there were very few guys that could take me out. And the shame of it is that most of the people that I used to always hang and came up with didn't even get to see. I wish I could see. There's got to be videos out there. I just can't find them. But I was, you know, people used to see, you know, my skills, and I'm having a hard time now with people that I came up with, you know, the Hush Hush, and it's, you know, everything that's going on with this now. I won't get into that, but.
Oh, we have
so
a caller
I think
calling
it was,
in. We have a caller calling in from a 412 area code calling in to speak to Kim Kazi. And caller, hold on. Kim, hold that thought. Caller, you are on the air. Say hello to Kim, and do you have a question?
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Hi. How are you?
This is Nick. How's it going? Funhouse B-Boys, Body and Soul Dancers.
Yes.
Wow.
Hi, Nick. This is the one I was telling you about that's doing the documentary on the Funhouse.
Wow, Nick, you called just in time. Tell the listening audience something about yourself and what, you know, what you got in store.
Well, I just wanted to call in to congratulate Kim for this. It's been a long time coming. She needs to be out there spreading her information because she really is, how would you call, a pioneer in the hip-hop and b-boy and b-girl world.
Yes.
So I'm glad she's on your show, you know, and spreading the word of what was happening back in the day. What she said about the Funhouse is all true. I mean, the Funhouse was a place where all the best dancers from New York and New Jersey, tri-state area, went to show their stuff. And it was a launching pad.
I'm trying to remember which street this was on because I've been to
West 26th Street. West 26th between 10th and 11th.
Oh, 10th and 11th. I know I probably, I had to have danced there before.
Yeah, I mean,
I
if you were a dancer, you had to be brought there because I was brought there because I was a hustle dancer from the 70s, mid-70s. And I met a Cuban girl. Her name is Barbie Garcia, rest in peace. And she, you know, she loved the way I danced. And she says, you know, you need to go to the Funhouse where the best dancers from the tri-state area go. And I said, I used to go. I heard of that place. And I already been going to Studio 54 and Xenon's and all the other popular clubs. You know, New Jersey, Poor Billy's, you know, Shalimar, you know, Fountain, you know, all the clubs in Jersey also, in New York. So I was like, but I used to see the huge line. But I ain't waiting in no line. So I never went in. But the time that I got to go was Barbie brought me there. Girls got in free between 10 and 11 till 12 o'clock. They got in free. So the guys were always waiting in the line and I was able to get in right away because Angelo, the doorman, he saw me that I was waiting for Barbie that she walked in. He goes, you know, I said, that's my lady. I need to get in there. So I took care of him, and he took care of me by bringing me in, introducing me to Ronnie, which was the, one of the owners. He used to sit in front, and then you walk through the mirror maze. And the thing is, as soon as you open that tarp, that music just punched you in the face. I mean, the sound system was the most incredible sound system. It competed with Paradise Garage, Studio 54, and The Loft also. So it was considered one of the best sound systems in the world at that time. So not only you had that, you had the dancers, you had everybody from every borough, you had all the styles, you had all the tremendous acts that coming out. So it really was a phenomenon. And we were lucky to be part of that phenomenon. So Kim has a great story. I hope she keeps on telling you the story of her career because it's been a phenomenal career that she had, and she's an amazing dancer and the only woman to ever to do the helicopter, two-man and three-man helicopter, which I saw her doing and said, if she could do it, I can do it. So that's how I started doing the helicopter.
See,
yeah.
Pass
so,
it on. You got to
yes.
pass it on.
Wow. And right then and there, that is history. That is witness history of what you, because I used to call you the spinning. You call it the helicopter.
The three-man spin and the helicopter is where you put
yeah.
the guy on your head or the girl, and it simulates
exactly.
you know, a helicopter. I mean, people call both of them helicopters, but those moves were put out there by my guys, Flip and Cano. People would know him better as Juancho back in the day. They're the ones who took breakdancing into the air. And then I said, like Nick said, to my girls, if they can do it, we can do it. And see, that's the thing. Even though they were my crew, there was no, well, let's show you how to do it. We were on our own. And I'm very proud to say, I never, even with the guys, I never dropped anybody ever.
That was my
we
next
would be
question.
Flying up there.
That was gravity. You know? I was like, how the hell are they doing this?
Well,
yeah,
I suffer for it now, believe
about,
me.
Yes, the thing about that move, and she's right, because Kim, you know, when you pick up a person, once you start spinning, they become weightless, okay, because the gravity is keeping them up. But the person up top has to know what they're doing also, because they have to keep their body as a, like a, what I call a surfboard. As hard as you can, flexed, arms, weight, let straight out, because that means a lot. If you're slumped over, if you it doesn't look correct. But it,
let me just say it's
out,
a dangerous move, and I don't recommend it to anybody. My neck
bone is
now crushed up against my brainstem
from putting
my people on my head as a 124-pound teenage girl. Now, remember, today they start breaking from kids. Most of us started, even though people keep moving it back and moving it back, that they started, now they're in their diapers. But most of us started, we were teenagers.
Yeah, I started breakdancing at
17.
She's right, because I was brought to the Funhouse in 1982, and that was the first time that I saw breakdancing before it was in the movies, before Flashdance, before Wild Style, before Beach Street. And that's when I saw Incredible. That's when I saw Kim in the backstage, and I saw these people doing these incredible things. And I'm saying, how the hell can they do that with their bodies? But and then I started practicing, and then I said, one day it's going to be in the Olympics. And I'm glad to say one day it is going to be in the Olympics. But it's just something that you pass the practice. It's like martial arts. You train your body to conform those moves, and you get better and better and better. But you have to practice. Not anybody can just do it. You know, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, you're throwing yourself on the floor, spinning on the floor, you're breakdancing. No, there's a lot to it. There's a six-step. There's a floor rock. There's knee spins. There's CCs. There's a lot of moves that have to do with the actual foundation of breaking, you know. And if you don't know all those moves, then you're not really a b-boy or breaker. You know, you just dance.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Well, I'm going to let you go. God bless
and
everybody.
Listening,
thank
and we're going to continue
you.
With Kim Kazi. Thank you. Make sure you keep
thanks
me
a lot,
posted
Nick.
On
no,
the
you're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks
bye.
For calling in. Wow, Kim, an endorsement from someone that actually experienced your experience.
Well,
and you heard
there's
it
a lot of them out there. Just a lot of them, they won't talk about it. You know?
Now we were talking about how you were received, but look at
right.
that, how you made an impact on this guy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have people who I forget, but, you know, that I can't just take the credit because all of my crew dynamic was really like that. They would help anybody with a move and, you know, help other people. I was talking to my girlfriend, Marisol. She was actually married back in the day to one of the Incredible Breakers, who were like my brothers, okay? Mm-hmm. And she told me that she remembers after the Funhouse, now this is after dancing all night, I was known, my first name was Spinner, was my first dance name. Okay, and this is something I really wish I had on video because I've never seen another human being do it. And that's not something many people can say, all right? Now, I know you know figure skating, roller skating.
Yeah.
You know when they do the spin where you go faster and faster and faster?
Yeah.
Okay, I used to do that on the floor, regular ground.
Wow.
But I had to do it with my Webo boot because I did it on the heel. You cannot spin like that on the ball of your foot. It won't happen unless you have a device. But I've learned how to get my core strength, and I literally used to do that spin because I know what it felt like on the ice. I used to do it. So that force as you pull your arms in, if you've ever done that, I used to do that move. That's something that takes a very long time because I didn't mean to do it. It just happens because I used to do that spin, and then it became two. Well, this girl, Marisol, she says, I remember you took me to your house and was trying to teach me that spin, you know, over and over and over. I was trying to teach her. Like I said, it's not something you could even get, one, two, three. Plus, she bugged me out because she was present. Now, nobody was supposed to be there. It was a private party when we were asked to do the entertainment for Liza Minnelli and Cheetah Rivera opened a new Broadway show called The Rink. And they held the after party at the Roxy. And we were the entertainment. So I had choreographed a routine where at the last few seconds, we were all spinning. Who was spinning on the head, who was doing hang glides, who was doing windmills, who was doing spinning floats, whatever. Mm. And I just went so fast that the last few seconds, I tore all the ligaments in my left arm that I was spinning on. I was doing a hang glide.
Oh,
so anyway, this girl, Marisol, was there that night. And she goes, she remembers. So I was just like, people bring up stuff that you don't even know that other people were there and witnessed. Wow. Because, as usual, she goes, no, you didn't go home. They made a sling because I never went home. I broke my collarbone after dancing all night at the Funhouse with the Incredible Breakers in Washington Square Park. I was doing back summies, and they were spotting me, and at the last minute, we missed the last spot, and boom, I came down between my neck and my shoulder. That bone still sticks out today.
Oh, my God.
Dances are the hardest on their bodies, especially B-boys and B-girls, you know.
Why? So they didn't even take you to the hospital?
Nah, B-hospital, no. Nope.
Mm.
My mother made me go. We were on tour, and we came home, and we had to film the Beat Street Strut video. Now, you're on, you know, you got to do things over and over and over. And it's exhausting picking people up in the hot summer and spinning them over and over and over and all the other moves that we did. And I had already had really bad water on the knee from the tour I was on.
Yeah.
So the next day I had gone to my friend Shake, another one we lost, and Mama Jerry. Little Shake, if you knew him, he and my leg locked, and my my family forced me to go to the hospital because I couldn't bend my leg. And I had, so I was just
I'm listening
going.
To you rubbing my leg like, oh, my God, no.
You don't want me to tell you the whole list. We'll be here for another hour. But
anyway, I got
nobody to blame but me, and I picked up Buffy from the Fat Boys. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that did a little damage to my back. I had no
Wait a minute. Don't tell me you picked him up.
Yes, I did.
Please don't tell
me. In front of 50,000 people at the Swatch Fresh Fest.
I was gonna lead into the Fresh Fest. How did you end up on that tour? Because that's the same tour Houdini was on, and they had little Jermaine Dupri with them.
Yes, he was. I have pictures of him. He was so young. I can't believe what he has done for himself. But anyway, well, the guys were on the tour. You know, my manager had, he held us back, put it that way.
Mm.
He never wanted the girls to surpass or overshadow the guys.
You see?
Why we were not on this tour is still beyond me to this day. But what happened was the guy, Flip, who used to spin all the other guys, broke his foot, his ankle, whatever it was. He was in a cast, and he couldn't do it. So now what are they going to do?
Mm.
You know, those moves are a big part of the show because they had a whole routine that Kano and Flip did with all acrobats, and, you know, he did a picking everybody up and spinning them. So the only one who could do it, who also knew all the choreography and the routines, was me.
Wow.
So that's why I was on that tour. When we were close enough at home where the dolls could get there, I included them. So I would do four shows a day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Four shows. Two with the guys and two with the girls.
Ooh.
But I wanted the dolls to be seen.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't paying us. They weren't paying them.
Wow.
But, you know, sometimes
you
got to...
You did this for free?
Not me. Once Flip healed, he was back on the tour, I was out. And guess what they filmed the very next weekend?
Don't tell me.
Friends. How many of us have them? Dynamics all in that. Jermaine Dupri's in that. Meg Force is in that.
Wow. You know, amazing.
I'm telling you. I missed everything by a day and a minute.
But you know what? You still have the memories.
It was great. I really had a great time. The only thing that was rough was nighttime because, you know, the guys, they go out trolling and, you know, I'm by myself. So I basically stayed up in the room.
How old did you say you were?
I think I had to be 18 at that point.
Okay, so no chaperone.
No.
Wow. And what were the names?
Jermaine Dupri used to have
a
chaperone. What?
He was like a kid.
Yeah, he was like 12.
And he could dance that good?
Yeah, he would come out. He was good. He'd come out, you know, he had the first 5 minutes. I still have the schedule for one of the tours. So it tells you who came out, how long. Like, usually the rap groups had 20 to 30 minutes. The dancers, 10 minutes. You know, that's
Wait,
a long time
you,
to friggin' dance.
Did you just say you still have the schedule?
Yeah, I have one of the schedules, yeah. I have a lot of memorabilia.
Okay.
I still have a ticket. A VIP ticket, not a star, but
a
ticket.
Wait a minute. I think you should make copies of that and send some of that stuff to Rocky for the Universal Hip Hop Museum.
Listen, if it's a good museum, I'll donate. I would like these things to go. So I have my Swatch Watch Fresh Fest shirt that Keith Haring did the shirt for with all of us listed on the back.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I still have
that
shirt.
That should be auctioned. You could possibly raise a lot of money with some of the stuff that you have. So off the air, I'll show you how you can do that.
Yeah, let's do it, always.
Or just, you know, promote it. It's so easy. All you need to do is, you know, people just buy in advance and then you mail it to them. Like, I got something that you would love. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
Because I'm selling my hip-hop memorabilia footage and other stuff. One-of-a-kind interviews on my
I'd
own
love
portal.
To see
because,
some of those.
Yeah, because
Good.
Netflix never got back to me. So I said, well, I could create my own portal. You know, I'm a techie.
Well, for those of you
I'm
who don't
person.
Know, Darlene had her own show. You want to tell the people about your show?
People already know. I'm the first female host and producer of any music video hip-hop show circa 1985. This is like way before MTV Raps. This was before BET Rap City. This was like a year after Video Music Box. But people know, you know, like
yeah,
I
but
said,
some of my peoples don't know, and I would like for them to know because they already, most of my friends know that Darlene was partially responsible for my book coming to be. I have to thank the guys in Greece who pushed me to do this, to write the book, and then Darlene for telling me how to and pointing me in the right direction.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you know, you
fun.
Both had a hand in that book, you know, being published.
Yeah, I saw, when I saw that dedication, you're like, there's another girl. Well, you know, I have the Literary Ladies book.
Honey, you're a muse. You're a muse.
Yeah, people tell
you know,
me that I'm the connector, I'm the muse. But, you
yes.
know, it's just a purpose.
Yes,
it's
are.
Not me.
You motivate, you inspire,
yeah.
you help.
But you know why? Because no one was there for me. And
right.
no artist should not have support. No artist
right.
should never be ignored. Because we're creators, but we're
mm-hmm.
this is from God. I believe that. Like, you,
right.
you're not just born, you know, creative. Something had to infuse in you when
of
you
course.
Were being made, you know, and you just doing its purpose. Like, you have no control. Like, who would have known that you would be able to spend some, like you said that you spent, Buffy, how did that happen? I can't see it.
What? Okay, I'll tell you what happened, okay? A lot of times this happened, and sometimes even, you know, when I go somewhere, and first of all, I'm the only female. Plus, you know, I'm not a woman of color. So it's like, what is this white girl doing here? What is she going to do? I used to hear that a lot. You know, you know, I'm focusing on what I got to do. But and when I was getting it really bad from these girls up in the stands. They were, like, ragging on me. But I knew what was going to happen once I got up on that stage. So I just stayed quiet and say nothing. I ignored them. When I came down off the stage, these same girls were jumping and screaming and, well, they weren't fist pumping back then, but they had their arms and you know what I'm saying. They were cheering for me. They were like, oh, snap, you know, and that just, you know, that made me so excited because, you know, when this is in the book I try to explain to people, especially those who never got a chance to make it and know what it's like to be on a stage in front of 50,000 people who are thunderous applause. That's energy that can almost knock you over. And I never was like, yeah, I'm it. You know, I used to be like, good, I did my job. You know, because that's what you want to do. You want to make sure you've given them the best and you leave it all there right on the stage for them. And so when I came down and I saw these women cheering for me, I was like so excited that the first person I saw, Charles Stetler, who was their manager, and Barclay was standing there, and he had his yellow jacket on, and I couldn't wrap my arms around his stomach, but I went under his stomach and around his waist. I don't know what made me do it. I really don't. And I just picked him up, and I didn't put him on my head. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
and I just
okay,
spun him around and around. That every time I went to see Charles Stetler at Tin Pan Apple, he used to make everybody stop. See this girl? She picked up Buffy. He used to tell everybody all the time. So my brother-in-law, he knew I was, you know, always strong. But he used to be like, you picked him up, come on. He ran into the Fat Boys at Crystal Cadillac, Lincoln, wherever they were, you know. And he's like, you know my sister-in-law, Kim? He's like, yeah. Does she spin one of you? And Buffy was like, yeah, nobody ever spun me like that before. He was like, she's crazy.
That is so funny.
I loved him.
Every time I hear about the Fat Boys, I think about my friend Curtis Blow, who is still breakdancing, by the way.
Yeah, I heard he went in again. God bless. I'm saying prayers for him.
Well,
like a
you
week
know.
Ago or so. Yeah, I know. But yeah, he comes out dancing. Nothing keeps him. You know, let me tell you, Curtis asked me once something about the little battle or whatever he had going on with Run DMC at the Fresh Fest. Now, you know me. I won't just go along. You know, this is Curtis Blow asking me. I'm not going to blow smoke. I didn't know they were having some kind of battle or tiff or whatever. But I says, you know what, Curtis? I don't remember that, but I'll tell you what I do remember. Who had dancers, backup dancers? You know, UTFO was there. They weren't yet UTFO. They had just recorded Roxanne, but didn't yet come out. Because Knock Eyes let me hear that on the tour bus. He let me listen to it. So they were dancers and, you know, Houdini and Nucleus, they had those kids, you know, dancing for them. And Curtis was Curtis.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing. He could pull that audience all by himself.
Yes, he could.
I'm telling you, though, they used to go crazy for him.
Wow.
He would go all the way to front stage and just, you know, all by himself. And the whole, you know, these are coliseums.
Yes.
30, 40, 50,000 people.
That right
and I went up all the way
stage,
to the top
right?
to look. I looked down at him looking so small down there.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he still fills up the stage. He really did. So I got to give him that.
Well, you know, he did the Christmas hip-hop Nutcracker. He's been on tour with that, so they're finished. But he and I communicate every week, and he's the reason why I joined the Hip-Hop Alliance. And I think you should, too, hiphopalliance.org. It's free to join right now. But what they do is they help you with all type of legal issues. It's like a union for hip-hop artists on all genres. And there's also panel discussion. There's Zoom meetings every week. And it's him, Karis One, Special Ed, and MC Light. And and it's really a good thing. And the good thing about it is that SAG and AFTRA are helping whoever is having like situations. They're the ones that automatically help you when you're a member of the Hip Hop Alliance. So go to hiphopalliance.org and register and join. And
definitely.
I'm telling you, it's been very, very motivational for me. I've been a member for about 3 months, and I've gained so much info and so much help because there's a lot of stuff that I'm involved with and money that's owed me for songs that people stole or lyrics. And also I need somebody to protect me because, remember, I own my footage.
Yes, you do.
And I don't give my footage away because, you know, I'm registered with VMI. And, you know, every time there's a hip-hop historical moment, they always try to use my footage. And I'm like, nope. If you're not licensing it for me, it's not happening. Now, Ralph, you know, he gives his footage away because he has so much.
Right.
And he got his dues last year with Showtime putting out the documentary on him, which is 30-something years overdue. Because it was Ralph that I saw that made me say, I want to do this.
Oh, see that? Wow.
You know, from Video Music Box. That was my inspiration. Because when I first did independent TV, I was just booking acts for this guy who was an entertainment person. But I wanted my hip-hop friends to get the exposure because, you know, in 84, 85, people weren't that giving you exposure if your name wasn't Run DMC. You know? I mean, look what they say about the Funky Four being the first rap group on SNL.
Yep.
Like, if you have been out for like 8 years before this happened.
Yes. Yep.
Eight years.
I know. I had checked out that interview she did and was talking, you know, because a lot of people, and I thought about it before it was said. I was like, you know, people who don't know, they think Debbie Harry, they think Roxanne Shanté.
No.
You know, was a, they don't know.
They don't know about
Pepe
Poole, Sherry Sher, like Shara.
And that's the thing. Females need to be recognized. You know, I've been fighting this battle for 40 years.
They keep showing, like, the first female soloist is MC Lyte. I'm like, that's not true. What about the groups that was out before Sequence? What
yeah, but no, you know, the people who know don't speak up, and that's just wrong.
I think
you know
it's
all
promote.
About not it's who you know. Because I go through the same thing. People I worked with, people I am on the same stage with, will not say my name.
Wow.
Because they're friends with another female who got slaughtered by me, and she stepped to me. I didn't even know who the hell she was. She came up to me and got all on my face with her little, and she didn't know what I was all about. And so that's, like, ridiculous. I never had a beef with these people in my life, but they became friends with this person, so now I don't exist. Dynamic Dolls don't exist. And I think that's so just juvenile and wrong, because you can't change somebody else's history. You can't rewrite history to suit your preferences.
Wow. Well, I need you to send me whatever document you want to put in the Hip Hop Museum, and I'm going to contact the guy who put my book in there. I think your book should go in on that site also, because you speak on history. You got things in there that are classic. And the young generation need to know, because all they know is people that sell records, you know?
Right.
Even when they
did
the hip-hop thing just recently on the Grammys, I was like, they don't have Curtis Blow up there? Like, what is going on?
I know.
Did
you
watch it?
I know. I saw some of it. Then I got aggravated. Because people, you know, some people like to pretend that, you know, there's only two elements in hip-hop.
Right.
And you know, I was very proud Sha-Rock spoke up on that during her interview when Chuck said something to her about, the culture. And she said, you mean what culture? The whole, all elements? You're talking about, you know, breaking, b-boy, b-girl, graffiti? Yeah, I don't understand why it's trying to separate and divide when it's all
because
part of one culture.
Because pop culture, because so many different people are now trying to be the author of hip-hop, and they don't know
you
the history.
You can't do that. There's too many. Nah, you can't do that. So many people involved. There's not just one person that created this. And no stretch of the imagination. Every little kid, I don't care if you, what you were Chinese or you know, whatever you were, it's a passion that you have.
Right.
You can't start dissecting. You can't leave out graffiti. You can't leave out breaking.
You can't leave out dancing.
Breaking's going in the Olympics. How can you discount that?
Remember, it was a time when people used to get ticketed and arrested for graffiti on the trains.
Oh, hell yeah. Sure.
Now they have certain trains with nothing but, you know, accepted graffiti. It's like, are you serious? Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. I'm like, come on. These are artists that probably have died, don't even know that their work is now being praised.
Yep.
You know, imagine what would have happened. Because in 81, I joined something called Inner City Roundtable of Youth. And it was, the acronym was ICRY. And it was started by an ex-Panther named Nazam Fatah, who was from Chicago. And what he did was he got Robert De Niro, Time Inc.
Why does that sound familiar to me?
He got Time Inc., Robert De Niro, and Tookie Smith to invest in machines with artists that were in gangs in the Bronx and Brooklyn to come and do graffiti. And we got, and Coors was the first, which nobody gives them their props. Coors was really the first alcohol company that sponsored hip-hop. And Tookie Smith's brother was Willie Smith, and I used to be his fit model. He was a designer. He had Willie wear. That was my first experience with any entertainment. I was a fit model. I was a mannequin model. Like, I would be in the showrooms, and they would pin material on me, and I sacrificed, you know, that life. And then when my mom didn't want me to do it, because once she found that I was doing it, I was only 15. I used to get in Studio 54 because I looked grown, because they used to put makeup on me.
Yeah,
and so when people were
hot stuff, Mama, still on.
Huh?
I saw a lot of those pics in your book too.
Right, but I'm talking about at 15, 16, like.
Yeah, well,
I wish
I was
had
in the clubs at those ages. Yeah.
Huh?
I was in the clubs, 14, you had to be 21.
Yeah,
I didn't drink, I just wanted to dance. I just wanted to be on the dance floor.
Yeah, man, and those were the good days. Like, you could step on somebody's foot, you didn't get shot. There was no metal detectors. You had to look a certain way.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's why I'm saying we had so many good memories with so many people, and instead of everybody coming together.
I don't
know.
The money changed people. Money changed people. We were broke back then, you know. If we were lucky, you know, to make money, we were good. You know, I modeled. I made a little money. But I also worked, and I was in high school. So I did all three things. And then when my mom was leaving, when I graduated high school, I didn't want to go with her. So I stayed in New York. And, you know, I worked temp jobs. I modeled. I wrote poems. I did whatever I could to survive. And, you know, but modeling helped me. Modeling saved my life because I would be homeless. But then I got into taking, you know, music seriously, and then doing TV production many years later was not my goal. I wanted to be an actress model, but my mom wouldn't allow me, so I moved on to being behind the scenes. And I did this TV production stuff way before I got my degree in TV and video. I was doing this when cable was Alphabet.
Yeah.
You know, 85, nobody believed in hip-hop when we were growing up.
You know.
So, anyway, back
to you.
This is
a big thing for me because hip-hop brought so many people together.
Yes.
And I had so much good back in the day.
Yeah.
Why can't it still have that, you know? It, like I said, it allowed kids, because I was one of those kids, that was able to go out and make some money.
Yep.
And bring it home to your mom or your yep. grandma or whoever was providing for you. And what a feeling that was to be able to be a kid and help them for bills or money or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget how proud I was. And my mom still has it to this day. I'll be 58 this year.
mm-hmm.
I remember when I started making the good money.
Mm.
I bought my mother in Manhattan on 34th Street. There was a boutique, and you know everything is very expensive when you buy it in a boutique.
Mm.
And I got her this cashmere sweater for her birthday.
Mm. Mm.
And back then, I think it was on sale, I paid $125 for it.
Mm. Mm.
That'd be like 1982, 1983.
Mm.
I was so proud to buy my mother such an extravagant gift. You would think like what I gave her. But, you know, just to be able to you know, provide the food for the family. You know, this was what a lot of kids got to do. And I won't get into how they were taken advantage of because that comes later. We all know that story. But
yeah.
there was so much good to it. And, you know, I just hate to see it tarnished by everybody just trying to grab their piece of the spotlight, you know, and
yeah.
pushing the others out just to get more shine. That's not right.
Yeah,
you can
but
get here on your own.
But you see how right now there is a disconnect with the new generation and the older generation. And so when I saw LL Cool J, you know, on stage, it was like different age groups of hip-hop. But I was so unimpressed when they brought out the new acts. It's like something was missing. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
understand what they were
mm-hmm.
saying. I was like, is this the future of hip-hop? Like, mumbled. Like, they sound retarded. Like, there's no message. You know,
I believe it'll circle back around. I think it'll circle back around.
It's not even real music. It's, like, very angry. They're very high. They're
yeah.
slutty. Like, it has no – it's degrading. That's the word. What happened
yeah.
to with all this money that they're making? Why aren't they happy? So I'm thinking the parents failed them, society failed them, and this is their way
well, listen,
of expressing.
You know,
themselves.
Honey, there's a lot of things people will do for money and fame,
and they'll lie and say they're involved with certain things like gangs. And I'm like, Negro, you were not out here. I know the drug dealers, okay. They may be in my family. Like, you're lying.
Isn't
even
that just like
that,
the wrong message? Why
wrong
is
message.
It? I know. I
but
know.
Guess what? Now, this new stuff, it's not that new. They call it drill. Have you heard of it?
Nope, because I don't listen
Kim
to nothing
new. Horrible.
Though.
Kim, it's horrible. They're doing these videos, and they're not being banned, and they're just disgracing people that have been killed, their parents, their friends.
When I hear music, I want something that makes me feel good, whether it touches my heart, my soul,
yeah.
makes me want to dance, makes me want to, you know, have I mean, that's the music, and you know, oh, my God, they don't make it like they used to with,
well,
the,
you
with
know
the
what,
spinners
Kim,
and the temps and GQ. And
people
oh
are making
gosh.
Good music. It's just that they're not getting the airplay and they're not getting
Ooh.
The respect.
Different
because,
generation.
Because
different generation.
Social media has allowed this lowest common
yeah.
denomination of our culture to be exposed for likes, which makes no sense. Like, you don't even have to be talented. And you know why they're promoting it? Because they don't have to pay the artists what they really should be making. So artists have to go out of their way to get their publicists to create dumb stuff that happened to them for people to be forced to go viral. But you can't, what's the word? You can't monetize like that because they call it, let's say somebody say you got 1 million streams. How much of the 1 million streams is turning into money? People don't
right.
understand the matrix of this. Like, they get caught up in the, he got 50,000 likes. So why he ain't got a mansion? Because they think likes equate to money, and it's a lie. Like, you
yeah.
got to have 14,000 likes just to get maybe $50 on YouTube. But people think, he got 62. For instance, Orange Juice Jones' daughter, Perry Jones, who I promote all the time, the greatest singer, young lady, right? She has 62,000 followers on Instagram. She got a little check. She hasn't even made $30,000. So what is the purpose of likes if you're not monetizing that? That like should be money. That like should be every time you click this thing, you're donating, even if it's just $3. People are not paying
attention.
You know,
and I support, like, my girl Brenda K. Starr.
How's
she
doing?
One of the dynamic. She's doing great, thank God, beautiful, great mother, great, you know, she's.
It was you, Brenda, and who else?
In the beginning, it was me, Brenda, Susie Q, and a girl named Coco Pop. And that was the original first four of the Dynamic Dolls. But the point is, you know, she comes out with new music. She does a lot of, you know, salsa. She does, you know, she remade I Miss You by Climax. She put out her a Christmas I know, I'm so used to saying album. I don't even know what you call it today. But where you download it, upload it, whatever you do to it. And, you know, what's beautiful about it is her children are on there. She does Baby It's Cold Outside with her husband, Chris.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I got to have this. You know, where can I buy it? And she's like, oh, well, let me see. I gave a lot of. I said, no, I'm not asking for it. I don't want it for free. I want to buy it because that's how you support your friends.
Right.
People think, oh, yeah, I'm friends with them. Yo, I can get it for free, you know. That's how you shouldn't be looking at it. If you want to support somebody, like, you know, we purchase each other's books.
Right.
That's how you support a friend.
Yep.
I don't even have one of my books right now because I gave it away to somebody. I got to pay for it. You know how that works when you self-publish. Yeah. People think, like, I have a stack of books sitting here just waiting to give them away, like flyers, you know?
Let me tell you.
Support your friends.
Let me tell you, every time I hear that name, Brenda K. Starr, I think of how if it wasn't for her, there would be no Mariah Carey. And I don't even understand why Mariah Carey doesn't give her at least $100,000 a year for her life.
I don't
understand.
Because Mariah is Mariah. That's why. She don't have to do nothing. She don't even want her talking about it. You know, people find out and they ask. Brenda does a lot of interviews. She travels around the world and all around the United States. And, you know, she gives it all to her fans. And, you know, and it's exhausting. I don't know how she does it. I have to tell you. She teaches, she helps people, kids develop their singing voices, and I don't know how she does everything she does. But they ask her, oh, so, you know, Mariah was your backup singer and da-da-da. You know, I'm not going to go into the whole story because it's her personal story, but basically it was told, don't be talking about her.
Well, guess what? She lost that voice, so, and I bet you Brenda still
and
got
you know
her
what?
Voice.
Not because she's my friend and like my sister and I love her, but Brenda's voice just keeps getting better and better.
And that's what needs to be promoted because Mariah sounds horrible live. Horrible.
Wow.
Horrible live with all of the drinking and smoking and hanging out.
Brenda, she drinks tea. She does her exercises. You know, she took care of her voice.
You see?
She raised 5 beautiful, successful children.
Wow.
And sustained a marriage. I mean, she's done it all. And, you know, I'm very proud of her.
Yeah.
But her voice, the last time, when did I see her last? Oh, God, my memory's so bad. Just put it this way. When I hear her in person, I cry because it's like, it touches me. You know, I could go back to when we were little, you know, teenagers. And I remember standing outside her building. And I said to her, Brenda, I'm telling you, I promise you, you're going to make it.
You're going to make it.
I promise you, I'm telling you, because her voice was so beautiful, you know.
So you've known her since you were younger?
T teenagers, yeah, young teenagers. You got to figure, if we did the Kennedy Center Honors in 83.
Wow.
So I had known her since 81, 82, I don't know. I can't remember the years.
83, I was 83, I was 23.
Oh, yeah.
Oof, what a time. What time has gone. But listen,
it was
Kim,
a great time,
that,
though.
Hold that thought. We got to take a pause for the pause. And I'll be right back. This is old school day. Old school, new school, true school, classic school. And today I am playing some funky music. And we'll be right back. Anymore, but I'm here with the one and only Kim of the Dynamic Dolls, and we were just reminiscing about some of the great people that we've encountered in our lives and how females have been accepted, and also some females that are threats to some of the guys in the industry. A lot of people, especially the media, tries to put 1985, the golden age of hip-hop, and totally disregarding a decade of contributions that dancers, graph writers, DJs, and MCs, and stylists have made. And even people as myself who have been promoting the visual of the art form. And we often get overshadowed with MTV Raps, and MTV Raps came 2 years after us. But nevertheless, it's never too late. Please go to literaryladiesbooktour.com, and you will meet some great authors. You will be able to see some footage from Celebrity Showcase TV. You will hear and be able to order Hip Hop Before the Bling, the audio version, as well as download my app, the Wear app. And if you want to be an author on tour with us, just go to Literary Ladies Book Tour, and I promise you, you pay your registration fee, I guarantee I'll let you promote your books, not only on our podcast, on our TV show, but we will get your book in a bookstore. store. Yes. And I'm here returning the last segment. We got 8 minutes left. We're here with one of the founding members of the Dynamic Dolls, Kim A. Kazi Valente.
Well, I have to tell you, if you don't mind me making the announcement, that mm-hmm. I am co-hosting a show of my own.
Oh.
It's going to start tomorrow. With a guy, he's a b-boy from California named Andrew Aragon, and the show is called Putting It in Perspective. So our first show tomorrow is going to be hot stuff, because basically what we're doing, and we have a guest, Pluto 7's going to join us. And basically we're talking about some of the things we touched down, people who are falsifying an entire history that they never had, and, you know, people clawing their way and stepping on others, and, you know, just people need to be told the truth, and people are, some people just afraid to speak out.
Wow.
You know me, I'm all about the truth. I'm not looking to hurt anybody, but I am not going to stand by and watch people, just because you have money and connections, climb the ladder on the backs of those who have been doing this for 40 years, and you're using them to create your own little history, which you didn't have. So, but the show will always be on something. It's, we're going to cover many subjects from, you know, relationships and you know, parenting, and anything goes. But that's why I said putting it in perspective. So hopefully we'll get to help some people and get to learn some things, and we'll get to learn some things, and that's what we're going to start doing. It's going to be twice a month on Sundays.
Okay,
just
now
because
is
we
this
have
a
busy
call-in
schedules.
Show? Is this a call-in show or it's pre-recorded?
It's going to be on Instagram, and what we're going to do is you can submit your questions if we have time to take them during the show, or else we'll review them and then go over them on the next segment, in the beginning of the next segment. So, you know, we're just still putting it. We haven't had our first show yet. That's tomorrow. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Instagram. I have the link on my Facebook page.
Okay.
So like I said, it's
going
to be about many different subjects, always something different, you know, trying to help people out there. A lot of people are, you know, brokenhearted, lonely, looking for love, trying to, you know, as we get older, people are looking for answers and, you know, what path are they supposed to be on, and just, you know, trying to help people out there.
Well, Kim, I think that's your calling anyway, because you, you're a great communicator. You know how to get the message out, and you're a people person. Unlike me, people think I'm a people person, but I'm really antisocial.
It's your yin-yang.
I'm a people person. I'm sorry?
We all have a yin-yang, and that's what, you know, makes us, you know, things can't come too easy, or you don't appreciate them. So we all have a little yin-yang. It's like a lot of people who you know, have to be out there and be speakers to help people really don't like to be in crowds and enjoy their solitude. And, you know, so everybody gets a little yin-yang in their life.
So, Kim, what does the future hold for, that you think, the future life of breaking? Like, I've seen Asians break dancing, Curtis Blow always have different cultures on tour with him dancing. Where do you see the future of breakdancing? And are you surprised how far it's come?
If you would ask me back in the day, I would have said you were crazy, and I did say that because a lot of people did, including, like, Powerful Pax, and, you know, people had said this is going to be an Olympics one day, and I had rolled my eyes. So, but, you know, I'm hoping, because this is my thing. The skills, the moves they do are, I couldn't have imagined back then. Couldn't have imagined anybody being able to do. Just don't lose that flavor, because, you know, when I'm watching somebody, whether they're, you know, competing, battling, and they don't have any flavor. They're not going to the record, the beat. They're just doing power moves. It loses. I have no interest. I like to see personality and flavor. So I'm hoping they keep the foundation of breaking and b-boying and, you know, keep that fresh.
Yeah.
And hopefully going forward, they'll be better, treat each other better than most of us have, you know.
Wow.
And let it bring people together like it did back in the day.
Yeah, because that's what's missing, the camaraderie,
yes.
The community.
Absolutely.
The unity, you know. It seems like it's very competitive. But also,
you gotta have that passion. That passion for what you do.
So let everyone know where they can get your book.
Anywhere online, Google it. It's called A B Girl in a B Boy World by Kim Akazi. That's K-I-M A-K-A-Z-I Valenti. Or you could just look up the, you know, Kim Valenti. You can get it anywhere, eBay, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere online you can get it. And it also comes in Kindle and ebook.
Okay.
If you don't like to sit there and hold the book and read, and the pictures are more vivid in the ebook.
So are you on Amazon?
Amazon, yes, Amazon.com, sure.
Okay.
Just Google it, and you can't miss it. They even sell it. They have it in other countries advertising it. I don't even know what they're saying. I have to use the translate because I don't know what they're saying about me. But I've gotten nothing but very positive because most people who know me know I don't lie.
Right.
I don't lie for me, and I won't lie for anybody else. So I double-checked all my facts, even though my memory, I knew that I memorized it correctly, but I still checked with other people to make sure that I was, you know, on point, because I would never want to say something that was not true. But there's some funny stories in there. I had one guy, his parents were publishers and authors, and he was a friend of my husband's, and he read it, and he knows nothing about hip-hop or breakdancing, and he really enjoyed the book.
Very good. Very good.
So that was great. That was a good
thing. We have enough lioneers out there. That's what Grandmaster Caz called them, lioneers.
Yeah.
Those that lie about being pioneers. Well, Kim, I want to thank you once again for always keeping it real with me. And I wish you the best of luck with your new show. And we'll tune in and see what you're talking about.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be on your show.
Always thinking of me.
All always. You know that.
All right. Lots of
thank
love.
You
take
so
care.
Much. Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for calling in. All of you out there that weren't able to talk to Kim, you can her on the Instagram show, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Ciao.
Ciao. I'm not going to do that.